Behold the beast who bears the pointed tail, who crosses mountains, shatters weapons and walls. Behold the one whose stench fills all the world. So did my guide begin to speak to me, and then he signaled him to come ashore, close to the end of those stone passageways. And he came on, that filthy effigy of fraud, and landed with his head and torso, but did not draw his tail onto the bank. The face he wore was that of a just man, so gracious was his features' outer semblance, and all his trunk the body of a serpent. He had two paws, with hair up to the armpits. His back and chest, as well as both his flanks, had been adorned with twining knots and circlets. No Turks or Tartars ever fashioned fabrics more colorful in background and relief, nor had Arachne ever loomed such webs. As boats will sometimes lie along the shore, with part of them on land and part in water. And just as there, among the guzzling Germans, the beaver sets himself when he means war, so did that squalid beast lie on the margin of stone that serves as border for the sand. And all his tail was quivering in the void, while twisting upward its envenomed fork, which had a tip just like a scorpion's. My guide said, "Now we'd better bend our path a little, till we reach as far as that malicious beast which crouches over there." Thus we descended on the right-hand side and moved 10 paces on the stony brink in order to avoid the sand and fire. When we had reached the sprawling beast, I saw, a little farther on upon the sand, some sinners sitting near the fissured rock. And here my master said to me, "So that you may experience this ring in full, go now and see the state in which they are. But keep your conversation with them brief. Until you return, I'll parley with this beast to see if he can lend us his strong shoulders." So I went on alone and even farther along the seventh circle's outer margin to where the melancholy people sat. Despondency was bursting from their eyes, this side, then that. Their hands kept fending off, at times the flames, at times the burning soil. Not otherwise do dogs in summer, now with muzzle, now with paw, when they are bitten by fleas or gnats, or by the sharp gadfly. When I had set my eyes upon the faces of some on whom that painful fire falls, I recognized no one. But I did notice that from the neck of each a purse was hung that had a special color and an emblem, and their eyes seemed to feast upon those pouches. Looking about, when I had come among them, I saw a yellow purse with azure on it that had the face and manner of a lion. Then, as I let my eyes move further on, I saw another purse that was blood red, and it displayed a goose more white than butter. And one who had an azure pregnant sow inscribed as emblem on his white pouch said to me, "What are you doing in this pit? Now you be off, and since you're still alive, remember that my neighbor, Vitaliano, shall yet sit here upon my left-hand side. Among these Florentines, I'm Paduan. I often hear them thunder in my ears, shouting, 'Now let the sovereign cavalier, the one who will bring the purse with 3 goats, come.' And this he slewed his mouth, and then he stuck his tongue out like an ox that licks its nose. And I, afraid that any longer stay might anger him who'd warned me to be brief, made my way back from those exhausted souls. I found my guide, who had already climbed upon the back of that brute animal, and he told me, 'Be strong and daring now, for our descent is by this kind of stairs. You mount in front. I want to be between, so that the tail can't do you any harm.' As one who feels the court and fever near and shivers, with his nails already blue, the sight of shade enough to make him shudder, so I became when I had heard these words. But then I felt the threat of shame, which makes a servant, in his kind lord's presence, brave. I settled down on those enormous shoulders. I wished to say, and yet my voice did not come as I thought, 'See that you hold me tight.' But he, who in other times, in other dangers, sustained me, just as soon as I had mounted, clasped me with his arms and propped me up and said, "Now, Jaron, move on. Take care to keep your circles wide, your landing slow. Remember the new weight you're carrying." Like a boat starting from its moorings moves backwards, backwards, so that beast took off. And when he felt himself completely clear, he turned his tail to where his chest had been, and having stretched it, moved it like an eel, and with his paws he gathered in the air. I do not think that there was greater fear in Phaethion when he let his reins go free, for which the sky, as one still sees, was scorched. Nor in poor Icarus when he could feel his sides unwinged because the wax was melting, his father shouting to him, "That way's wrong." Then was in me, when on all sides I saw that I was in the air, and everything had faded from my sight, except the beast. Slowly, slowly swimming, he moves on. He wheels and he descends, but I feel only the wind upon my face and the wind rising. Already on our right, I heard the torrent resounding there beneath us, horribly, so that I stretched my neck and looked below. Then I was more afraid of falling off, for I saw fires and I heard laments at which I tremble, crouching, and hold fast. And now I saw what I had missed before, his wheeling and descent, because great torments were drawing closer to us on all sides. Just as a falcon, long upon the wing, who seeing neither lure nor bird, compels the falconer to cry, "Ami, you fall," descends, exhausted, in 100 circles, where he had once been swift, and sets himself, embittered and enraged, far from his master. Such at the bottom of the jagged rock was Jaron when he had set us down, and once our weight was lifted from his back, he vanished like an arrow from above.
Come il falcon che stato a sé sulle ali, che senza vedere lo giorno o cielo fa dire al falconere, "O me, tu cali." Discende l'aso, onde si muove il snello per 100 ruote, ed al lunghe si pone dal suo maestro, disdegnoso e bello, così ne puose al fondo Gerione, a pie della stagliata rocca, e discalcate le nostre persone, si delugio come da colta coccia.